Dateline Washington, Wednesday, March 11th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, earmarks, a second stimulus package, and more. We'll talk with New Jersey Republican Congressman Scott Garrett about President Obama signing an earmark-laden omnibus spending bill while decrying the use of earmarks. We'll also hear about Nancy Pelosi's call for a second economic stimulus package and find out what the Republican alternatives are to the Democratic economic agenda. Also in this edition, Karjak has arrived on Capitol Hill. We'll talk about the significance of this legislation and why it would mean that workers don't even get to vote on their own collective bargaining agreements because the government would solve all labor disputes. We'll talk with Saul Anouzes. He's chairman of the Michigan State Republican Party. Plus in this edition, Connecticut, the Catholic Church, and the First Amendment to the Constitution. Some lawmakers in the Constitution state want to remove the power of priests to have control over the finances of their own parish. We'll find out the consequences of that if it were to be approved when we talk with Carl Anderson, Supreme Knight of the Knights of Columbus. And the tax on everyone. We'll take a look at the impact of cap and trade on all Americans, especially those with the lowest incomes, when we're joined by Phil Kirpin of Americans for Prosperity. All that, plus a look at Wednesday's headlines, is straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with Congressman Garrett, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, a Republican representing the Garden State's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of both the House Budget and Financial Services Committees. We want to get his thoughts today on President Obama signing an earmark-laden omnibus spending bill for $410 billion, at the same time promising earmark reform. We also want to get his thoughts as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi suggests a second major stimulus package may be needed. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
It's always good to be with you. Thank you for the chance.
We know that, of course, on Tuesday, the Senate did pass the $410 billion omnibus bill. There's about 8,500 earmarks in there. The president today not signing it in public, saying it's an imperfect bill, but it's not something that Congress should get bogged down by, and we need to move on. What do you make, first of all, of that logic before we get into his thoughts about earmark reform?
Well, I don't know what the American public thinks when you're spending $410 billion or more of their hard-earned tax dollars, and he says, well, he's not going to spend the time, the effort, or the energy to go through, as he promised during his campaign, line by line, to find every bit of waste, fraud, and abuse. I'm sure some of those earmarks probably had valid reasons. I'm sure other portions of that bill had good and legitimate spending in it, but it goes against everything that he campaigned on.
How much of it did you go through, and why did you ultimately vote no?
I went through a bunch of it, but not all of it, because at the end of the day, we saw that it was just so overburdened with unnecessary expenditures and the like that we felt a no vote was the appropriate. And the calls we were getting from our constituents were saying the same thing, that a rush to spend another almost half a trillion dollars on top of the $350, the $850, the $810, and now more TARP money on its way. I think we've just come to the end of the line on these things.
President Obama didn't talk about it a lot today in his comments, but his press secretary certainly has in recent days, and that's that this legislation was left over from the old administration. So it's, old business that needs to be done. It's not really, the buck doesn't really stop with the White House on this one.
Well, that's sort of, you have to scratch your head and laugh at that, because the buck doesn't stop there, but it certainly comes from the taxpayer. And the taxpayer is asking for this new administration to bring about the change that he talked about. Change was a line-by-line review. Change was being thorough and review of the spending, and I guess if the buck doesn't stop there, then I guess he's passing the buck at this point.
What did you make of his addressing of the earmark situation? He says there are too many. He says a lot of them are wasteful and even fraudulent. At the same time, though, he says some of them are good pieces of legislation, and he's not opposed to earmarks in principle. What message actually came through to you as you listened today?
Well, I'm not either opposed to them in principle, because the members of Congress by the Constitution have the prerogative and the right to say that this particular project is within the Constitution and is good for the country and so on and so forth. But the larger question is, which ones should we be spending on, and which ones involve waste, fraud, and abuse? All the things that the American public was asking for a change. They wanted a review. They wanted analysis. They wanted a thorough going over of the budget to make sure that their tax dollars aren't sent to Washington and then just squandered. Remember, we had that infamous Bridge to Nowhere that no one is proud of, $127 or so million dollars, and everyone was outraged about that. Now you have that many times over here in this $410 billion spending. And remind you this, one other point. It's not just the earmarks, because earmarks are those items added to by individual members. It's also the overall spending in there that goes through the various government agencies. All those programs are not all meritorious and worthwhile. Those are the same things. They spend far more money than the earmarks, and those are the type of things that the public wants the government to stop doing and end.
One of the things we also heard the president say today, Congressman, is that the more responsible earmarks are the ones that end up going through state and municipal governments, whereas the ones that simply reward private sector folks are less reputable somehow. Did you get that same impression?
Well, I mean, that argument can be made, but I don't know that that's necessarily the case. Look, just as you can do an analysis here and see that more earmarks go to members who are either on the appropriate committees or on the majority party or in leadership position than not, I think you'll also find that more will end up going to states from those respective individuals that I just named. Does that mean that just because you're a chairman of a committee or you're in leadership, that your projects in your state is more worthwhile than somebody who's in the minority party and not on any of the important committees? I don't think so. So just going through the state because of that, I don't think changes anything.
Last question on this front, Congressman. What is the Republican conference position on earmarks, and do you get the sense that the Democratic leadership is ready to change the way they put together the spending package in any significant way?
Well, on that last point, I think what you will hear is a lot of rhetoric from the other side of the aisle that they're ready for change and ready for improvement. But we've heard that literally now for the last 2 years that they've been in control, that they're going to make changes, that they're going to be more efficient, so on and so forth, that they're going to implement things like PAYGO and other things on spending. But when push comes to shove, when the bills actually get to the floor, they waive all the rules and they waive all those good intentions, and we end up the same place we were before. And I think that's what frustrates myself, and I think frustrates the American taxpayer to no end.
And what's the GOP perspective on all this?
Well, the GOP perspective is the same as it was when we started the minority 2 years ago, and that is that earmarks should be reined in, but so should the overall spending level should be reined in as well, that we can't go on the continuing spending patterns that we have for years. And look, honestly, that's why the Republicans lost in 06, because they had spent too much. But the Democrats came in on a platform of fixing it. Well, they didn't fix it. They gave us the largest deficits in history. Over a quarter of the entire U.S. growth and budget now goes to Washington, D.C. for bureaucrats and politicians to spend. That's not what the Americans were counting on this past November, and I'm hoping it's going to start changing.
Congressman, it wasn't very long ago that you and I were talking about the stimulus bill that was going through Congress. Ultimately, it was about $789 billion, somewhere in that neighborhood. Less than a month later, the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says that it looks like another economic stimulus plan may be necessary. Does this surprise you, and what are you expecting to come down the pike here?
Yeah, well, I guess nothing should surprise any of us now when you're talking about trillion-dollar deficits, trillion with a T, for as far as the eye can see. And nothing should surprise us when the Pelosi and Reid have been so totally not responsive to the American public, who say, yes, something needs to be done, but no, not excessive spending. So when she says they can spend $800 billion a couple weeks ago and another $800 billion maybe in a couple weeks from now, even before the first dollar of the first package goes out the door, no, nothing surprises me from this Congress anymore.
Is this an indication that they realized that the stimulus bill wasn't as effective as they hoped it would be? Does it just suggest that they just want to keep spending money?
I think the latter. They just want to keep on spending money. Because when you look at what's actually in the stimulus bill so far, when you look what's in their budget, you realize these are just pent-up demand over 30 years of things that the other side of the aisle wanted to spend money on but never had the chance to. And now they have it because they have all three houses, the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And they're just going to spend until either the Republicans are able to stop them in the House or Senate, or more likely the American people just rise up and say enough is enough.
We're talking with New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett. He sits on both the House Budget and Financial Services Committees. And Congressman, we talked, as I mentioned before, during the stimulus debate, and Republicans had an alternative that you pointed out the Congressional Budget Office said would create twice as many jobs at half the price. What about moving forward here? What kind of alternatives, even if they don't see the light of day on the House floor, are you and your colleagues putting forward so at least the American people know what your ideas are in contrast to what the majority is putting on the agenda?
Well, I think it's a very good point you raise, is that although the other side of the aisle wants to always just paint us as the party of no, rather, that's not true at all, because we are the party that has new ideas. And we have ideas to try to actually get the economy going, to create jobs, not through more public short-term jobs, but through the private sector, ideas to try to help small business to get its footing again, its traction, and start creating jobs. Because, as you know, the majority of these jobs in this country do come from small business. So the Republicans have dropped in several pieces of legislation. I'm the prime sponsor of one, to go in that direction, not take more money from the taxpayer, not put the taxpayer on the hook with these TARP 1 and TARP 2 programs, but to get the economy going in an old-fashioned sense of responsibility and encouragement to private enterprise and local job growth.
About 90 seconds left here with Congressman Garrett. And Congressman, given the fact that the economy is in such rough shape right now, it's not inconceivable that in time for the midterm elections or even 2012, the economy will look better, regardless of whether the recent legislation and all the spending had much to do with it. But if the impression is that the economy is better, how do you rebut their eventual argument, which I'm sure would be coming, that what they did is responsible for that?
Well, it'll be hard to rebut it if the economy is significantly better than it is today. But if unemployment still hovers about where it is right now, if our trade deficits continue to be where they are, if unemployment is somewhere, as I say, where we are as right now, I'm sure they will be looking to any little point to say things have improved. But at the end of the day, we know that our national debt will be highest than ever, that we will still be looking at deficits, as I said, for $1 trillion range for as far as the eye can see, and other negative factors. So it'll be hard for them to point to too many rosy things, I think, in a couple of years from now.
Well, Congressman, one battle just completed over the spending bill. I'm sure there will be another one very soon, and we look forward to talking to you then. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate the chance again. Thank you.
Congressman Scott Garrett from New Jersey's 5th Congressional District, member of both the House Budget and Financial Services Committees. This is Dateline Washington.